Hey, this is Asia Dang.
And this is Laura Varney, and you're listening to Heavy Topics with Lightweights.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
This almost did not happen. I mean, I was absolutely okay with not uploading one this week.
You know, I was like, wait, what's happening? Like, when are we going to record? Like, what's today? Oh, today's Monday. And yes. Usually we record on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, did I text you yesterday or Friday about that?
I think you texted me on Friday saying, when are we going to record? And then I texted you last night at like midnight saying, okay, we have to record tomorrow.
You're like, it's all good. Let's hold off.
But yeah, today's Memorial Day. Have you stepped outside at all?
It's so beautiful.
I know, it's so nice.
Could it be any more perfect? It was really beautiful yesterday too. We went on a little adventure yesterday, actually.
Where did you go?
So we took Miles, and so for anyone who doesn't know, my boyfriend has a 4.5-year-old little boy named Miles, and he's the cutest thing in the entire world. And we took him and drove first to Underwood Family Farms.
Oh yeah. Wait, I saw a lot of people go there. Did you pick strawberries?
Yeah. So I didn't know it was mainly about the strawberries, because when you first walk in, we got there like 15 minutes before it opened, because we knew there would be a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And we got in, and it was cool because they had like all the little markers for people standing 6 feet apart, and everyone had to wear a mask. So I felt like they were pretty safe about it, but we're waiting in line. And like when you first get in the farm, they give you this big wheelbarrow, and it starts with like different lettuces and carrots, and it's all veggies.
Ooh, wait, this is where they do the pumpkin patch, right? Or is that someplace else?
I didn't know that until yesterday, but yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which I've never done here before. So
I've never done any of that before. I've never been to that farm before.
Well, you would love it. It's really cool how they do it. Like, you basically get your little wagon and go in, and they just let you go pick your own food. So everything has a sign.
So how does it work? You like pay an entrance fee, or you pay
$5 a person to get in.
Okay.
You get your wagon, you go in, and there's a sign next to each crop saying what it is and how to know if it's ready to be picked and how to pick it properly. So like with certain, like with the butter lettuce was like the first thing I think we picked.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you have to hold it at the bottom and twist it around like a, you know, in a circle, and then pull it straight out. So yeah, it was really cool. We got like all these different lettuces, carrots, oranges.
And then you pay for the produce at the end, or the $5 covers whatever you pick?
No, yeah, you pay for it at the end.
Okay.
And then we got to the strawberry patch, and it was like massive. And so we ended up filling up 2, you know, containers of strawberries. They give you containers. You know, I think usually they would let, just like a grocery store, they would normally let you bring reusable containers in, but right now they're not doing that just because of COVID.
Totally.
Wait,
so, is this the farm that, I don't know the proper term for it, that is self-sustaining?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Because I watched a documentary. I forget the name of it, but it was basically a couple that lived in Santa Monica and was like, fuck this shit. Let's buy a farm.
Okay. No.
Okay.
We've talked about this before. Yes.
Okay.
So I want to go there, and I actually tried to take the clients for my rehab there one weekend, but it didn't work out. So for that one, I don't think they do like large group entry like that. If you have a group, it's something you have to plan way far in advance, but you can spend like a couple hours there, like helping them on the farm, but it's not, I think it's a little bit different, but I know there's a documentary. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, cool. Okay. I wonder what's the name of the farm you went to? Farmwood?
Underwood.
Are they just open on the weekends?
I think they're open all week.
Okay, maybe we'll drive out. It wasn't that far though, right? It was just in the
valley. It was like 45 minutes.
That's not bad.
And the produce is so good. Like the strawberries are amazing.
Have you seen, I mean, you're not on TikTok, but on TikTok, it's like really, I don't know if it's really big, but I've seen a couple videos of people cleaning their strawberries like continuously, and then bugs keep coming out of the strawberries.
Ew, that's disgusting.
I know. So just
not,
like,
not at Underwood Family Farm.
Just because what they do, I think it's, they put like water, they put the strawberries in water, and I don't know if it's baking soda or salt or something. I don't know what it is, but you just let it sit, let the strawberries sit in there, and then all the shit comes out.
Wait, so is that, does that like every strawberry? Like, are we eating bugs?
You know what? I probably should have like actually watched the video with the audio on, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, I think it's just more of the story, wash your fruit like as well as possible. So you might want to look into that with the strawberries, not to like freak you out.
Thanks.
You know, I don't really like strawberries.
You know what? Blueberries are my favorite.
Yeah.
But there's something different about it. Like when you pick your own food, like
of course.
Last night cooked our dinner and it was pretty much all stuff that we had gotten. Like we roasted the beets and carrots. We made an arugula salad from the root. Like it just tastes different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes,
it's,
I do.
So fresh and like the right amount of sweetness, and I don't know, it's really yummy.
I mean, that's definitely like the importance of growing your own food. I mean, I would love to grow actual food at my place, but I kill herbs, so I'm not even at that level yet, but I fully anticipate one day being there. I would love to do that.
I just planted a little, me and Miles planted a little herb garden.
What's in it?
So it's just basil, cilantro, and parsley.
It's crazy because when you grow your own herbs, we talked about this last season, that you realize how much people need, like how much work goes into the herbs that you pick easily at the grocery store, like a dollar a bunch.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I tried growing basil. Then I was like, I don't really eat basil.
Mm.
It really makes you realize what herbs you really eat.
Basil and cilantro, I know I use. I don't know if I'll really use like parsley that much, but we'll see.
I have my parsley and my green onions are the only things that are still alive. And the cool thing about green onions is that you can just like regrow them.
Yeah, I feel like I would definitely use the green onion a lot.
Yeah, I use green onions a lot. I don't use the parsley at all.
Yeah, I don't know if I will
use
it.
But it's still alive, so it's still there.
Yeah.
Anyways. Oh, good. Good to know. I want to go to that farm.
Yeah. So we did that. It was really nice. And then we just
was
drove
it busy
up to Santa Barbara. Yes. So like I said, we got there before it opened. We got there at like 8:45. It opens at 9. We were in line waiting because by the time we left, it was really packed.
Dang. How long did you stay there?
We stayed for probably like an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Okay, that's not bad.
No. Wow, I mean, there's only so long that you can like pick crops. And then you're like, okay, I'm not going to, because you only pick what you're going to buy.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That's such a smart way for farms to make money.
It really is.
Especially in LA. People fucking Instagramming all that shit.
Oh, for sure. Like when we were leaving, because I went, of course, you know, in, you know, scrubby workout clothes, like,
yeah,
no makeup, obviously I'm not going to be wearing makeup. Like, and then when we're leaving, there's like all these girls dressed in super cute outfits with like their hats on and their makeup and hair done. I'm like, damn, they look so good. And
I know,
like,
right?
they're definitely like taking photos here.
Yeah, for sure. But at a time when like farms are struggling, that's like a really smart way to make money.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah, that's nice that you made a day out of it and kind of just left the house.
Yeah, because honestly, like, I needed to get out of the house.
For sure.
And I think that right now it's important to continue to stay safe and do what we can do, but like create little activities where we can stay away from other people, you know? So
as long as you're not going to like a beach club,
yeah,
party like these idiots these days are going, it's like crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, Brian and I were gonna drive up to Malibu and then watch kind of do a drive-in movie over there with the dogs.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, and then we got into a fight and we didn't go. I was really looking forward to it. But that brings us to what I wanted to talk about today.
Let's talk about it. This is a very intense subject and I have so much to say, but I'm also scared to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting. So basically what I wanted to talk about was basically what Brian and I ended up talking about this weekend. And it's kind of like the effects our parents have on us, like how they turned us into the people we are today.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because, you know, I never really thought my parents are divorced and they've been divorced for decades. You know, I never had like any issues or I never thought I did. But now that I'm older, they're kind of like, I never felt like, oh, their divorce is like my fault. Never felt that way. But it's like manifesting itself in different ways now. So it's just, I wanted to talk about it. I think it's really interesting. And no one talks about it.
Yeah, it is really interesting. And it's like something that I definitely talk about in therapy a lot, one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny that you brought this up today because it kind of came up between me and Ryan this past week as well.
Really?
It wasn't like a fight. It was a probably disagreement discussion, but it's just like came up because of like the way that we handle things so differently.
Totally.
And then I was like, you know what? I need to start going to therapy again. And so I started back with my therapist on Zoom this past Friday.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah. I think it's better to like, and I've always said this, but I don't always practice it. Like I stopped going to therapy, the end of last year, just because of certain situations. And then, I love my therapist, but this whole Corona thing happened and obviously I wasn't going then. But I emailed her and she's like, of course I'm doing Zoom sessions literally all day, every day. So,
oh, I'm sure she's so busy right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know that this, podcast, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp, but I was actually thinking of like actually doing more BetterHelp sessions because finding a therapist is hard. Like that's why I haven't gone in years, because in LA, I haven't found one that I liked.
Well, it's not only that, like it is hard, like shopping for a therapist, but also, it's really expensive.
So and expensive. So
just talking, now that you're talking about BetterHelp, it's like, that's one of the outside reasons that I was talking about as to why I wasn't going to therapy for a long time, because a 50-minute session, or actually a 45-minute session with my therapist, is $250.
Yeah, same. The last in-office therapist I saw was, I think maybe 3 years ago, she was $200 an hour.
Yeah.
I was like,
I'm not, it's whatever. Like, sure, you're worth that. I'm not saying she isn't. It's just, especially with what's going on right now, it's not really it can be in the wheelhouse, right? If it's a priority, but it's expensive. It's really, really expensive.
It's so expensive. Anyways, yeah. Well, perfect timing that yes. We're talking about this. Laura and I are huge proponents of therapy. Whether it's working through big T trauma or continuing your journey of self-growth, speaking to a licensed therapist can give you clarity. I first started seeing a therapist 10 years ago after a breakup and still use the tools I learned in those sessions in my current relationship today. However, with $200 hourly rates or sitting in traffic for hours to get to the office, therapy has taken a backseat. Enter BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient. Services are available to clients worldwide, and you can message your counselor anytime and schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without leaving the comforts of your own home and at more than half the price of traditional therapy. When I signed up, I filled out a couple questions on their website, and an hour later, I was matched with Cecilia. We want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/lightweights. Join over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lightweights for 10% off.
So how do you want to go about this? Do you want to kind of talk about your...
Well, yeah, I'll start with me because I'm the one that brought it up. Cool. So like you said, it's like Brian and I communicate differently, but basically what I realized is that since my parents have been divorced and I lived with them like separately, like my mom during the summer and my dad during the school year, they all did everything themselves. Right. So that's how I am in my relationship, or just like in general, is like I do everything myself just because that's what I saw my parents do. And that's good on one side because then I just get shit done. Right.
Right.
But it's also unfair, like to Brian, like for instance, because I do it because that's just what I saw growing up, is that everyone in my family did everything. But yet, I don't tell him what I need him to do. So I end up getting mad at him for not doing the things that I want him to do, even though I don't tell him I want him to do it.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty common problem.
Yeah. So it's just like stuff like that. And then also like money-wise, once my parents got divorced, they struggled with money for a really long time. So not doing that, which also causes like, sometimes Brian's like, well, you're saving for a life without me. And I'm like, yeah, not that I want that to happen, but yeah, I'm like protecting myself against a situation like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I totally can relate to what you're saying about that. And I think it's really important because we do, think of that as a positive thing a lot of times. And I think in so many ways it is a positive thing, right? And there's been a huge movement, especially a resurgence of the movement over the past, you know, 5 or so years, just as like being a very powerful, independent woman. And it's so important to have that. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times, at least I'm speaking for myself, but I think this might apply to you as well, that we go so far in that because we feel like we want to be powerful women and we are independent, we are strong, but then we end up kind of like isolating ourselves and alienating our partner in that way.
Totally.
Which it's not necessarily on purpose, but I think for me, it's definitely a defense mechanism because I'm like, I'm going to protect myself no matter what, because of course we've all been hurt before. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be hurt again. So I will put my walls up and be independent and be strong and do everything on my own, everything that I have to do, so that when that happens, I'm fine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But in turn, that's not really helpful because it makes your partner feel like shit, you know?
Yeah, totally. So it's now like just me kind of making the conscious effort to speak up when I need help. And it's also tricky too, because my love language is service. So I'm very much happy to do things for the family, you know?
Mm, yeah.
But I think what gets me is when I have like really busy days that I would want him to just kind of read the room and like say, it's just been running back and forth. Maybe I should do this or that without me having to say anything, which is again, not fair to Brian at all. But you know, I just need to learn how to speak up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most important thing is like realizing that that's what's going on, you know, because then that's your first stepping stone and how you can move forward and change it. Even though honestly, like I'm realizing more and more, not that we're old, but like, and I don't know if it's being this age or not, but like changing is so fucking hard. Like it is so fucking hard. I am actively, and by the way, have been actively for probably like 3 solid years, like really trying to change certain things about myself when it comes to romantic relationships and how I deal with any issues that might come about. And like, I just do the same shit over and over, and I can see myself doing it in the moment. Like, it's almost like I step outside of my body and I'm watching myself do the things that I don't want to be doing.
Yeah.
And interacting with my partner in a way in which I don't want to be interacting, but I like can't fucking stop. It's so weird.
What is an example of that?
So I would say my main thing, and I'll kind of explain the background after I tell you, but like my main thing is that when there is a conflict or when I get my feelings hurt, which I'm a lot more sensitive than my partners usually realize because I present as being really tough, mm-hmm. like stoic Same. And strong, which Same. I am in some ways, yeah. right? Yeah. But I'm actually super, super sensitive. And so when I get hurt or upset, I have a tendency to just like totally freeze up. I'm quiet. I'm kind, it can be perceived as being cold. And I just like don't talk about it. And I'm just like, it's fine. And I just move on, but I haven't actually moved on. And
which is why we're best friends, because that's one of my issues too.
Right, right. I deal with it internally mm-hmm. instead of talking about it. Mm-hmm. And it's just not helpful. And I realize why therapy has helped me realize, but my therapist is great in the sense that like she helps me get to the realization on my own. Mm-hmm. But basically like my father, who is, my parents aren't divorced, and I always thought that I had like this perfect childhood, and like there are always issues with people. Like no one's perfect. No parent is perfect. And my dad is an amazing father, but also grew up being very stoic and not really talking about his feelings and not sharing his feelings mm-hmm. and probably felt like it was weak to share his feelings. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I grew up seeing, which is fine. But like, so when I want to, when I have feelings, I feel stupid sharing them. Like that's my immediate thought is like, oh my God, I'm being so stupid for being upset about this. I'm not going to talk about it. So instead of, you know, saying to my person like, oh, what you said really hurt my feelings and I'm upset about it, I go internally, I'm like, Laura, you're being really stupid for feeling that way. It's not valid. And I like just push it down and don't talk about it. And it's not helpful at all.
No, because it'll keep on happening until you say what is bothering you.
Yeah. And I mean, you can feel like you moved on or pretend to yourself that you moved on, but until you actually like verbalize it and talk about it with the person who upset you, it's almost impossible to really move on from something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So my dad was like that too.
Yeah. I think it's like that generation, men mm-hmm. from that generation, it's pretty common.
Totally.
But so now I like with my nephews, I see them and I see like, you know, if they'll start crying or something like that, people's automatic reaction a lot of times is to say like, oh, don't cry, or like, don't be a little baby, or don't be a little yeah. girl. And yeah. I'm like, I'm always like, if you need to cry, if you're upset or you're sad or you're angry, that's okay. Like you can cry, you can yell, like talk about it. It's okay. Like your feelings are valid. You know what I mean? Like I always try to tell them that because it's so much harder when you're older to get to that point.
Totally. Yeah. That happens a lot with younger boys too.
Yeah, for sure.
You're acting like a girl.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like I've definitely heard people say that to my nephew. And I'm like, if he's sad, he can cry. Like, by the way, that's such a bad message to send to a kid. Like number one, you're weak for crying. Number two, all girls do is run around and cry. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case, right?
No. Like,
so yeah.
So interesting. You really don't realize how what you were around when you were younger affects you until it never even occurred to me until maybe last year.
Yeah. No.
Well into my 30s.
Yeah. It definitely has. I believe that the majority of our issues when it comes to relationships like that stem from something from our childhood, for sure.
Isn't that scary to think about? And then like having kids, like you can majorly fuck up a kid.
Oh my God, for sure. And here's the thing. I think every kid is fucked up to an extent, right? It's just like fucked up about what and at what level, mm-hmm. right? Like yeah. We can only do our best. Like no human being is perfect. Like none of us, no one's going to go through life and not have any issues. So like regardless, a kid is going to pick up on something, you know? So I don't know.
The pressure.
The pressure.
The pressure of having kids.
But you know what else I do?
What?
Is that, and I'm not exactly sure where this comes from, but I notice that my thought is like, when I'm in an argument with my boyfriend, oh, he like doesn't want, I don't know how to explain it. Like I feel that he's being distant or he's being something, but in reality, he's only reacting to the way that I'm being.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like I pick up on him and I'm like, oh, he's being distant towards me. He doesn't want to like be around me. And then my feelings are hurt more, but like I need to take a step back and look at like the way I'm acting. Mm-hmm. And I am definitely acting distant the majority of the time in these situations. So mm-hmm. it's just someone feeding off of your energy, you know?
Yeah. Energy is such a tricky thing.
Yep. God.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure therapists at this time are so, so busy just because, you know, especially now where we're isolated and in our thoughts and some of us are alone, if you don't have roommates or a partner or pets, like I'm sure they are so busy right now.
Oh, for sure.
Which is great. I mean, hopefully on the other side of this comes a more enlightened group of people.
Yeah, including us.
Including us. I know. Maybe that is the trick. Maybe I'd be happier going to therapy more consistently if it was just virtual.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm loving virtual things at the moment. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Like a virtual meeting, I am down with.
Oh my God. I know. And it makes you think like, is this meeting really important? You know?
Totally no.
Yeah.
Usually it could be like a real quick phone call.
Right. I know. I would actually just prefer that too. Like, can you just text me or call me? Like, do I really need to sit down in front of my computer for this?
Yeah. Do I really need to see your face?
I know. You know, I had like 3 Zoom meetings last week and every time before it, I was like, okay, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to look decent. And I'm like, no, fuck this. No, absolutely. And I didn't. I looked like crap in every one of my Zoom meetings and it's fine.
Did you see me when we got on this Zoom call?
I mean, I look exactly the same like you.
Oh my God. No,
but thank you. It's different with like besties.
Yeah, totally acceptable. We know each other at our worst.
Well, speaking of, have you finished your Netflix show yet?
Yes. Holy shit. I feel like it took 3 years. I'm serious. What the hell?
It did.
I just finished it like a week or not even a week ago.
Well, tell the people what you finished.
I finished Money Heist. Quality show for like the first 2 parts.
Yeah, it's very much repetitive at this point.
It got super repetitive and I'm not going to say I didn't like it because I did like it and I'm hoping there's a 4th, 5th part because I'm really upset with the way that it ended.
Oh, of course. I mean, they're still in the bank, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there has to be a 5th part.
Really silly. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But yeah, it was good. It was quality. I think some of it gets a little bit cheesy. Some of the script gets cheesy because of maybe like the language difference, the translations.
Yeah, totally.
But like I think it's so funny how the girl Tokyo and Rio, her boyfriend, like this happens a couple times, but I'm just thinking of this one scene where they're like on an island and they wake up. And she's like on top of him and he looks at her and he's like, you want to fuck?
I know.
She's like, yeah, later. Let's get in the water first. And I'm like, no one would ever say that. Like, that would never happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's that I definitely have issues with that kind of stuff, but I think it really is just, you know, the translation difference.
100%. Sure. Yeah. Cause you can tell that it was made really well and that it was a good show.
I don't know what I was watching. Oh, I think it was probably like some behind the scenes of that stuff. But, before it was picked up on Netflix, it was actually like a terrible show that no one watched.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And then it got picked up on Netflix and then had this international draw. That's so it was so like funny. Revived. Yeah.
That's really funny.
But, have you watched, I mean, you're not really a reality show girl.
No, it's not my thing, but what is it? Tell me.
Selling Sunset.
What's that about?
Oh my God. So I think it's from the producers of The Hills, and basically it follows this, a real estate brokerage called, you know, Oppenheimer.
Okay. Yeah, no, yeah, I can't do it.
It's so good though.
I know. You know, Darren used to always watch these shows and like he would try and get me into it. And I couldn't. It's not for me. It's not my thing.
But also it's only like 8 episodes. It's a really easy watch.
You know what I started watching?
What?
Dead to Me.
Oh, finish that. Old news.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I'm so far behind on the shows.
That's a good show. That's funny.
I think it's fun. One of my clients told me to watch it. Yeah, I like it. I'm into it.
I mean, I just really love Christina Applegate.
Yeah. Yeah, she's good. She's good. She got a gnarly lip situation going on there though.
Yeah. Bummer. They need to stop with the
injections,
with the face stuff. We were watching an escape room, like a celebrity escape room thing.
Of course you were.
I know, of course, right? And Courtney Cox was on it. Mm. And I'm just like, no, why?
I know. Is this just an LA thing or is this, like, this isn't happening in like Spain.
I mean, it might just be an American thing.
Yeah. It's such a bummer because listen, I am not against like maintenance. But actually, I don't want to say I'm against anything. Listen, to each his own. Okay. It's just that it doesn't look good.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, because also the point of that kind of stuff is to look better.
Yeah. It just looks like you did a bunch of shit.
And also,
which doesn't look good.
What asshole doctor says, this looks great. Let's continue to do more.
And by the way, like, homegirl can afford it. So it's like, clearly she's going to a good doctor. No,
I mean, I would want to go to whoever JLo's doctor is because we know she's done stuff. Cause just because it's a celebrity culture and she's 15, she looks like she's 12.
Oh, she has done stuff.
I mean, can't we assume? But the point is that's the point is you don't really know whether or not she's done stuff.
Yeah. She looks incredible.
You know what? You know, I love my Beyonce, but even Beyonce, sometimes I'm like, oh, you need to stop.
You know, I don't see Beyonce's face much anymore now that I think about it. I'm going to look her up on Instagram.
Yeah. It's sometimes, I think it's, I don't know what she does to her mouth area because she obviously doesn't need lip injections, but it's something. It's something. I can't pinpoint it.
Let's see here.
Oh, you're on now?
Yeah. You know what's weird is that her stuff doesn't pop up on my feed anymore.
Do you not like it when it pops up?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know me. It always pops up on my feed. Every time.
Anyways.
Yeah. Just go scroll. But, you know, it's just like find yourself a JLO doctor. Don't find yourself like a Courtney Cox doctor.
Oh my goodness gracious. And what a beautiful woman.
I know. That's the problem I have with it. If you want to get work done, then just make it elevate your natural beautiness.
Yeah. Totally.
You look different.
Totally. It's really bad.
I think that's why I'm mostly afraid to get work done, is because I don't want to look different. Cause then your face will look that way. Yeah, it's your face.
You can't like go back, really, can you?
I mean, I think you can dissolve fillers, but I don't know about other stuff. Yeah, but then your face still looks different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I prefer to just stay under a hat and do my UV light and face masks and I'm fine. And that stuff scares me. Like, that's a needle.
Yeah. It's life changing. Stick to the facials.
Yeah. I was wondering, if I did a facial every week, would that do anything?
I think so, but we should ask an esthetician.
Yeah, I was thinking of asking my esthetician that, because I was watching, you know how Elle does like the get readies with me?
Yes.
There was one, I think she's a Japanese actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she gets a facial every week, like casually said that. And she looks,
that's
she
what J-Lo does, like multiple times a week.
I heard that as well. So, yeah. And honestly, my skin really needs a facial right now. So I'm just counting down the days. Yeah, it's really bad.
I've been trying to like do at-home facials. It's just not the same.
It's really not.
I need an extraction. Yeah. I need some microdermabrasion. I need all the things.
I think I'm definitely going to go back to like the laser treatments for my skin too.
Same.
To get rid of that hyperpigmentation.
I have to wait till after summer though, because.
For sure.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, when is all that stuff open up? That's probably like the last thing to open up, right?
I would think so, because they're so close to you.
Did you see the picture Heidi Klum posted the other day? I think yesterday or something.
Oh, what was it?
She was getting highlights and she posted it. And her hair, her colorist had an umbrella as like a protection and a face mask, and she's getting highlights. And I think it's illegal in the state of California for hairdressers to work.
It is illegal.
So, and then she posted that
because on Instagram. My hairdresser told me it was illegal.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Rich people, celebrities.
Well, listen, if you called your hair person right now, they would probably come over.
I mean, of course, but don't fucking post about it.
Yeah.
Like, be responsible here a little bit. I can't wait to cut my hair. I think I want to do something drastic.
Like what?
I keep on saying this and then I regret it immediately, but bangs.
When was the last time you had bangs?
It's been a while. It's been a while because I've been growing my hair out since I came back from being blonde.
The thing is with bangs, they're so annoying to me.
I know. They just look, when your hair is washed and blow dried and styled, it looks so cute.
Yeah. And how often is that taking place?
I totally understand. That's the conversation I have while considering whether or not I want bangs. The answer is always no. But maybe I need to get those clip-in bangs.
You should. Oh my gosh. Why not?
I think I should. I think I'm going to do that. I need to find like good quality ones. And then I think I want to get a wig and then have Chad, our colorist, Laura and I, Laura introduced me to him, color the wig platinum blonde.
Ooh.
So I have that option again, because I'm not going back, because that was, that wrecked my hair. But I would like to have the option.
Yeah. Love the option.
I think I might do that. But they're so, what, like good quality wigs are so expensive.
How expensive are they?
I mean, I think a good one starts at least $1,200.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, girl. I mean, when I went to get wigs for one of my parody videos, like the good quality stuff was 900 plus. And that wasn't even to cuss, like that was just like buy it off the rack kind of situation.
Wait, so if you spent that much money for your video?
No.
Oh, you just saw that.
I just saw the options. And I was like, no, I'll take the $50 one. Thanks.
You're like, no, I'm good. I'm wearing this for about 2 hours.
Right. I'm good. It's that pink wig. Remember?
Yeah.
You guys tried on? Yeah.
I loved that wig. I wore it at dinner that night.
I think I might actually take that wig and get my stylist to make it like a more flattering shape so I can actually wear it out too.
That was such a good wig.
It was so cute, right?
Yeah. And that one had bangs.
It did. Yeah. You're right.
No need to cut bangs.
Right. I just have to go out in pink hair. But hey, that's the thing now these days, isn't it?
Totally. Everyone's doing it.
Wow. We really like talked about a lot of random shit today.
Oh my God. We totally did.
If you think about where we started from, where we are now.
Super, super serious. No, we started with like
farming,
our weekend farming plans.
Yeah.
And then went into super serious therapy vibes.
Yep.
And now we're talking about wigs. This is what you get on Heavy Topics.
I know. This is what you guys like, isn't it?
Super heavy topics. $1,200 wigs.
Right. Do we have a new comment? Do you know?
We have a couple.
Oh, no way. We really appreciate you guys listening.
One though, because I want to keep the other one just in case we need.
Right. Just in case we come back and don't have another one.
Oh my God. Hold on.
We really appreciate you guys listening. You shock us every time we post.
Oh shit. We have three. Okay, I'm just going to read.
Just read one, because then we can spread out the last two.
Okay. I'm going to read the most recent one, and then we'll go back from there.
Okay.
The Realest Podcast You Could Ever Listen To is the title.
I like that.
And it's from MadZRad_. I don't typically write reviews for podcasts, but I just wanted to take the time to share the love and appreciation for Asia and Laura. I'm in my late 20s hearing other women in the same boat as I am is honestly comforting no matter what the age difference. I believe as women, we have an immense amount of pressure to have it all figured out. Listening to this podcast has given me a gentle reminder that we don't always need to have it all done because no one does. It's also one of the realest podcasts anyone could listen to. Give yourself time to kick back and just listen. Love you, ladies.
Wow.
Okay.
That was a great one.
That was really good.
Oh my God. Thank you. I wonder what episode she listened to.
I don't know. Hopefully all of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's that one that inspires you guys to post.
Yeah.
You
totally.
Because we both listen to have you ever left a review?
Of course.
You have?
Of course. And you know what else inspires me to post?
What?
When the person on the podcast says this. It's really honestly super helpful to us if you guys rate and review. And it's like I'm being honest because at some point, like we would like to take this to the next level.
Wait, what does that mean?
I mean, like, make it like really part of our career.
Yeah.
Like right now it's like there and we enjoy it and we put work into it, but like
it's a hobby. Yeah.
And we don't want it to just be a hobby forever because we really care about it. And like, we want to take it to the next level, but in order to take it to the next level, we have to at some point make money from it if we're realistic.
Yeah. I mean, do you think we missed our chance though? Cause podcasts I think we are at the tail end of the explosion.
I think that you could say that about literally anything.
That's true.
And I think that, no, I don't think so. I think that there's an audience for different niches. And I think that we are different and people either like our personalities and what we have to say and what we're talking about, or they don't.
Yeah.
Those people who do are like really loyal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I definitely think there's space for us. What do you guys think? Rate and review, leave a comment, tell us.
It's so helpful.
It's super helpful, honestly. No, but really, like when I listen to the podcast that I really do like, and one of them, this girl always says, like, honestly, you guys, it's very helpful for me when you rate and review because iTunes has an algorithm just like Instagram does, and no one will see my shit unless you guys are subscribing. and rating and reviewing.
We really should figure out that algorithm.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, thanks guys for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
We appreciate you.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, stay safe, everyone, and responsible.
Bye.